Today's podcast is brought to you by Tetra Hearing. Tetra Hearing isn't just hearing protection, it's hearing perfection.
How was the masseuse?
This morning was good. And then Pilates, I didn't get much massage done in Pilates, but acupuncture, they had needles and everything, so that was good.
Does that stuff work? Acupuncture scares me.
No, dude, acupuncture is amazing.
Feel it going in?
I mean, it's not like a super big needle, so like it's really tiny and thin, so like you'll feel it and then like it'll hit like your muscle or whatever and then it'll relax. But like even the ones, like they'll put one in your cheek and then like one in your forehead.
No way.
Dude, you'll put the one in your forehead and it's like to relieve stress and everything, and then these two are like sinus ones, and surprisingly it works. Like you don't feel them, like they're super small needles.
How many do you have in you at one time?
With the face ones and then legs, I mean, probably close to 15 to 20 needles. And then you can put stem in them too. So like you'll be getting electrocuted like as you're, with the needles in. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know if that's for me. Is the Pilates through the Niners, or you just go to some random class with Abby and hop in there?
No, she's actually going to start working there, but it's like a one-on-one session, and then it's in San Jose, and then like Fred Warner and a couple other guys, like they've gone to hit her before. So then I started this summer during OTAs, and then this summer, and then I'm doing it now in the season two. But like a bunch of guys will do it like two times a week.
I've never done it. I look so hard.
Dude, like I don't sweat pretty much at all in there, but just like it's not like a painful or like a stressful kind of like workout, but just holding a certain position for, you know, minutes on end, it'll just feel like a pain in your stomach for a couple of days just because it's all core and everything.
Yeah, I've seen the videos, but I don't think I could get myself in one of those Pilates studios. I'm just not that person.
I haven't got the socks yet, but
they make special socks.
Yeah, they do make special socks. They're like extra grippy or whatever, so you grip onto like the reformer.
You're not sliding around when you're doing it. Jesus.
Yeah, people are gonna wonder what we're talking about on here. About Pilates and acupuncture. And
you got to take care of your body. You got to take care of your body.
How has it helped your shooting in the blind?
Yeah, exactly. All the motion is it good enough? Yeah.
When you're done with like the acupuncture stuff, do you feel like you get up off the table and you're just like limber again?
I mean, pretty much. Like my legs will feel lighter, and then I'll have more like. Like you can feel the muscle relaxing, like when they're doing the stem, and like the leg will just like, you'll get rotation again, and like everything will just kind of feel level. And then I'll go move around in the weight room or doing my like stretching, and you can feel totally different. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done the stem stuff. Just my dad's a physical therapist, so I've had the pads on before, you know, you get the clinch up, but I've never had needles with stem in it. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, dude. Then they had the cupping.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, dude. I got like a bunch of like circular bruises on my leg from where they did it on my quad, and like it's just pulling the skin up out of into this little cup thing. It's weird to look at, you know.
Yeah, I've seen people with those big cup marks on their back and stuff, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess if it's good for you, why not?
If I was a professional athlete, I'd probably doing everything I could to stay on the field, but I hardly even go for a walk or a run anymore. So.
Go to your kid's baseball practice and chase around some wiffle balls.
Woo! Broke a sweat out there, yeah. Oh, my back hurts, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Save for the Blind, sponsored by Tetra Hearing. Today, we have Colton McKivitz, who is the starting right tackle for the San Francisco 49ers. And you are our first guest on the podcast for this season. And you're also the last guest of season one. So congratulations and thanks at the same time.
Nice. Let's go.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So we're starting with the best and we're ending with the best.
I like it. That's my kind of thing right there.
So you're what? Let's see. Week two in. How's the body feeling after 2 weeks of football?
Pretty good, actually. I mean, besides a couple bumps and bruises and nicks, you know, not too bad. Came out pretty unscathed. And it's funny, our rookie, our right guard, Pooney, he goes, man, we got 17 of these things. Like, yeah, dude, like it's a grind. But no, I think 2 weeks in, it's feeling pretty good.
Is it that? Do you feel that much of a difference from like the college level to the pro level? Like just every day is just like, wow, really? Another one's like yeah. Getting beat up.
Well, I mean, those guys are done like Thanksgiving, the week after Thanksgiving, and then we're maybe halfway through our season, you know? So it's, yeah. And the rookies are even longer because they have the draft and that whole process. And then rookie mini camp at OTA. So they're there. You maybe get a month or two off in their off season. And they just, it's a long season for those guys.
Going even longer. Wow.
Yeah.
So we were lucky enough. I don't know. Was that 4 months ago ish? We got with Colton and he brought out, that was during OTAs, wasn't it? You brought out a bunch of guys from the Niners. That were currently in the area for OTAs to come experience our Grizzly Ranch property and shoot. And just kind of want to get your take on it and what the guys said afterwards and how they perceived it. Because I know there were some guys who had a little bit of shooting background, some guys that had hunting background, some guys that had nothing at all.
Yeah. Yeah, there was it's
quite a few of them. Nothing.
It was quite the conglomerate of guys, you know. I mean, just some of the guys, like I told you when we got there, you know, guys, they always talk smack or they're like, yeah, shooting, like I'm going to run the table and all this and that, and they talk smack. And then a guy gets a finger stuck in a gun. It needs a you know, I don't know, Barbie Band-Aid. He kind of realizes it's not all it's smack talk. But no, it was super fun. I think they had a great time. I don't think I think a lot of them didn't realize, you know, how, you know, close there is opportunities to hunt and shoot and do these kinds of things in the Bay Area, and that they have them, you know, pretty much readily available, you know, if they just kind of look around and ask around. And even for the guys who had never shot before, I think they were just not in awe, but super excited that, you know, they got to experience something like that. Cause you know, out here, there's not a lot of things for guys to do. So to be able to do that and experience it and have it, you know, I think we had, you know, 12 to 15, however many guys we had, like it was a super solid group of guys out there. And just that, you know, element of being able to be, you know, let loose and shoot some clays was really cool for those guys.
Well, it was a blast. You had the 410 competition going towards the end and we blew through. Yeah. A lot of 410 ammo.
We shot like all my 410 summer ammo.
Yeah, we're at summer camp. We're running low on 410. We're like, blame it on the Niners, guys.
The inventory was like, where did all the 410 go? I was like, oh, we shot it after you left. I was like, oh, gosh.
Shot so much 410 ammo. But what's interesting is Jeff was talking about it today before you got on. Is like, in the line of business that you're in, a lot of those guys that came out like aren't on the team anymore.
It's crazy to see that. Dallas and like a couple of them have, you know, either got picked up somewhere else or, you know, it's just crazy that how much the roster changes from like when we shot in OTAs until, what is it, you know, whenever cut day is, August 27th, you know. So it's crazy how much the roster changes and, you know, the turnover rosters have.
Yeah, and I know – your hunting buddy for the last year, Warner's now with the Falcons. So who are you going to pick up on the team this year to start bringing around? I know Barch hunts.
Yeah. Barch has done a lot of big game, I think.
Okay.
He's planned on, I think he's going to Wisconsin on the bye week to do some deer hunting. He's got a family property there, but there's actually two rookies. Jake hunts Brendel. He came out.
He's busy with his kid.
Yeah, his daughter, man, he loves her, and anytime he gets, he's gonna spend with her. But we got two rookies who are coming up. One's a big duck hunter, and then Nugent. One's a quarterback, and then Nugent's an offensive lineman rookie who he's big into the outdoors too. He's actually got a 7-month-old chocolate lab, so I don't know if he plans on hunting him one day, but he's super excited to see what California's got.
Did those guys come from a hunting background, like California hunting background, or
no? Nugent went to Stanford and then transferred to Michigan. So he won a national championship last year. And then Mordecai is a quarterback. I think he's from the South.
Tanner Mordecai?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Oklahoma backup and then went to like SMU or something like that. I think. And then went to Wisconsin, I believe. So
yeah, he had a Max Prairie shirt on the one day. We had an O-line and QB dinner at Brock's house. And he was like, Max Prairie, what are you doing with that on? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, duck hunter, man. And he's like, no way. I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, California has the best duck hunting the country has to offer. And he's like, all right. I couldn't believe it. He was there actually another duck hunter around. So
that's cool.
Like, all right, we'll get you out, buddy.
Yeah, I bet that's a good feeling when you meet somebody on your team for the first time. They're like, oh, you duck hunt too? It's like, oh, finally, I got somebody else.
Yeah, I lose Charlie, and then all of a sudden I got two more. So it's a good feeling to have guys who hunt.
That's awesome. I remember like in college, like saw someone with a Drake water flusher. Like, hey man, you hunter? Yeah. All right, perfect. You're like best friends.
I had a guy at the gym come up to me the other day, and I was wearing my Cal Waterfowl shirt, and he, oh, you do stuff with Cal Waterfowl? I'm like, yeah, I run the hunt. Guy owns a club in the Suisun Marsh. He's like, I own this club, and I was like, awesome. Yeah. It's like just those conversation starters.
Find the tribe members.
Yeah, exactly.
How's the pup working out?
Oh, he's awesome, man. Yeah, he's getting big. I think he's 8 months right now, Cedar. Yeah, he's a ball of energy right now. It's hard being down here in San Jose or Santa Clara, you know, with all the being kind of in town and in the little parks we do stuff at, but I mean, he's getting it, man. So I'm excited for that.
Gonna get him a vest to hide all of his long hair so he doesn't get cocklebur attached to it.
Well, it's funny because like when he was a puppy, he had short. You're like, oh, he's not gonna be that bad. And then now, like his tail's all fluffed out, and his back's starting to curl up, and you're like, all right, this is gonna be a mess.
He's gonna be a magnet for anything that's in the water.
Yeah, dude. He goes searching through stuff, and yeah, he's a ball of energy right now, that's for sure.
I don't think – have you ever hunted with a golden retriever? I never have.
A friend of mine growing up had one, but yeah, I can't remember much about it. Water dog, yeah.
Have you hunted with one, Colton, before?
Yeah, Blaster.
That's a good name, Blaster.
Yeah, he's a big golden retriever. We've done – duck hunting in Sassoon with him, and then we did some upland pheasant and chucker over at Bird's Landing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did some stuff over there with him. Great dog, man. They're beautiful watching them work.
Yeah, that hair though, man, after a hunt, like just finding the ticks and cocklebirds or whatever, just gotta be like a treasure hunt. You know,
you just get a shear and just shear patches out of them.
Yeah.
So sitting on our table to the right is your other giant cleat that we have. We're still going to auction off. So I kind of want to touch the very first episode we had mentioned the possibility of you doing cleats for a cause with the Veteran Hunt Program. And we actually did it this past year. So what game were these cleats worn in?
The Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was Sunday Night Football. Pretty sure the score was 42-19.
That's a beatdown.
Yeah, so we had been looking forward to that one for a while after losing the NFC Championship game there the year before. So, yeah, they're in pretty pristine condition. I'd spat over the middle of them for my ankles, but yeah, I mean it was. It was the Blue Flash, because that's what they were calling me in the Friday walkthrough before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, like, you'll get some guys with, like, you know, just black ones or red ones, and then you get some guys where they're yellow, and then these ones are obviously blue. But, no, they looked awesome, man. I was super, super pumped how they turned out. And the first pair we sold, you know, had a great turnout on that one.
Yeah, so I don't know what our fundraising department's plan is for this other one. It's going to go either to a dinner or the online auction, but for people listening, look ahead for that. You could pick up the other cleat. They are autographed by Colton, and they are obviously game-worn like we were talking about. I was watching the receiver show on Netflix, and there was a scene where I could see you in those cleats. I was like, hey, that cleat was at my house. It's like trying to show my wife, and she's like, yeah, I don't get it. I'm like, all right, never mind.
They're big cleats.
What was that on Netflix? I think.
Yeah.
Good shout out for the vet program right there.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's freaking awesome.
You think they'll ever do like a lineman show now that they've done the quarterbacks and receivers? You guys interesting. You guys are interesting. The most interesting people on the field. Kickers.
We are interesting. I don't think they got the. I mean, maybe if it's Trent Williams and there's a couple guys who can put on a show for TV, but you know they like the dramatics of people who touch the ball, you know.
Come on, you were in a national John Deere commercial. You're it. You're the next guy.
we're starting to get into the TV world. I don't know if we're there yet, but not ready for a TV show. Maybe hunting one, but
were you nervous doing that commercial with Brock?
No, dude, I was pumped. I was so pumped. I was like, they got us, you know, all the outfits, whatever. And it was just one day we were up in San Fran, and they got a John Deere 8R on duals up in this. It's like a park up in the top of the city. You can see the bridge, and like this dude's like house. He like rents it out for these commercial shoots, and this giant tractor sitting on like a main kind of thoroughfare for people getting back and forth from work and school, and they're honking, and people are, you know, breaking their necks looking when you drive by. And dude, it was such an awesome experience. Like, I mean, I had fun with it, dude. I think I had more lines than Brock, but it was so fun. And I mean, one of my neighbors, when I went back home to Ohio when we were there for a week and me and Abby got engaged, he comes over. He's like, hey, congrats, you know, whatever. And he gives me a bag of chips and onion dip from the commercial.
Oh, my God.
He's like, here you go for your road trip back across the country. So
that's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Speaking of your engagement, congratulations on that. Do you think you were more nervous in being engaged or proposing to Abby than you were for playing in the Super Bowl?
Oh, for sure, dude. I mean, like, the Super Bowl is like, I mean, it's obviously like, that's the dream. Like, yeah, it sucks we lost, whatever. We won't talk about that. It took me a while to get over, but like, I don't know. I almost messed it up too because we had family pictures the night before. And we're all dressed up and everyone's got makeup on and we're taking pictures. Even the photographers thought that I was going to do it that night.
Did they knew you had the ring already?
Oh, I had the ring, but I wasn't doing it that night. And everyone's like, hey, you doing it? And I'm like, no, 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 no. So we're leaving and she's all mad and won't look at me, and even texted her mom like, she's like, no ring yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that guy. So then we go. I'm like, hey, let's go to Morgantown because we visited before, but it was in the winter. So I was like, well, let's take Cedar. Let's go down for the day in the summer. You know, I'm wearing the Cal Waterfowl shirt and Abby's in shorts and a t-shirt.
And, not picture ready.
No, not at all. So she had no idea it was coming. And I had a connection down in Morgantown for a photographer with the team still. You know, it was a nice overlook. And I almost messed it up because I left my keys in my pocket. And like it's like it was right as we're about to, like, me getting down on a knee, and I like paused, I hesitated, taking it out of my pocket. And I was like, oh wait, and I was like, oh, so I hurried up, grabbed it, put it on the little shelf they had, and then luckily she forgot that she had her little purse on, so I got saved there, and then, you know, got down on a knee. She was crying, and you know, I shed a tear. Yeah, it was great. It was a perfect surprise. And then I think it was Scott, or it might have been you, Carson. It was like great comment, a great addition on the Cal Waterfowl.
Yeah, yeah. That was the first thing. Because Kelly, my wife, she's like, oh, they got engaged. I was like, oh, he's wearing a CWA shirt. Nice. I texted Chloe. I was like, nice shirt. He's like, yeah, I'll put a better one on when we take engagement photos. I was like, yeah, that's probably smart.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, she had no idea it was coming. So it was coming this off season, but definitely she didn't know the day, and she was surprised. So it worked out good for me.
That's freaking funny.
Those women always seem to know when it's going to happen, or or are pissed off when it doesn't, when you had no inclination of doing it. But then you,
God.
Then you get it done, is like a weight off your shoulders. Like, all right, that was a lot easier than it should have been.
Well, then all the work starts after that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, then the planning and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were going to do it in Idaho. Well, I mean, it was kind of spur of the moment. I went on a spring bear hunt in Idaho after OTAs. And we're right on the, I think it's the Big Salmon River, like right on kind of like a gravel bar. And we're taking pictures, and like if I had the ring on me, I would have done it right then. But then, like, she looks at me, and I look at her, and I'm like, I got nothing for
it. Did you have it at that point, just not on you?
No, it was like the way the arrangement, like, it took an extra 2 weeks, so I had to wait and I had it shipped to her mom's bank where she works at.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it was, I mean, Idaho is beautiful, man. I mean, we had. It was Nez Perce, and then Hell's Canyon back in there, and the Snake and all that. That's some beautiful country in Idaho now.
That's freaking awesome.
What's Super Bowl media week like? Because I know normal media, you have your interviews and stuff, but I feel like that's like a week-long hoopla of just cameras in your face. What was that like?
It's brutal. So, like, we practice – and then you have a mandatory like hour and a half media session, and you know, whatever, wherever they designate that, and you're at these tables. So, like, obviously the bigger name guys, you know, Brock and Debo and George, like, they all have their own podium, and then the other guys, like, we're all just huddled around tables, like two or three of us at one, and then it's just like a carousel of people. Like, you have like different broadcasters, obviously, and then different news networks. And it's like the entire, it's worldwide. You know, we had people from Mexico, Europe. I mean, all over the world. It's the Super Bowl biggest stage. So I think one guy was coming from New York, didn't even know I was on the active roster.
Oh my
God.
You
have like all these, yeah, you have all these people who, they probably know nothing about the team showing up, and then just asking random off the wall questions, political, like hypothetical stuff. Like, it's quite taxing after a practice to sit there for an hour and, you know, be asked questions. And but yeah, the media at the Super Bowl is insane.
Do they obviously prep you guys like, hey,
don't say XYZ?
Yeah, or like if someone asks you a crazy question, political, just say next or whatever.
Yeah, there's always the social media guys on our team. They'll come and be like, hey, here's what not to say. Don't say this, or tell them to be like, ask the head coach, or if there's any like injury stuff or anything political. Like, yeah, you know, I'll refrain from answering, but. Yeah, you get the off-the-wall stuff, man.
They're just trying to dig into, make somebody make a mistake and say something that they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking, they're definitely looking for the billboard material. Yeah. I mean, the first night we were there, you get in and you're at the stadium. So we're at the Raiders Stadium, and then it's the whole field, and there's the middle stage, and then you have the podiums around with all the guys, and then it's just, you know, probably 500 people on the field, just with everyone's got a microphone. They all got their cameras out, just asking questions. It's like a meet and greet of news reporters. So it's insane.
Well, talk about a hectic place to have it in Vegas. Were you guys staying on the Strip or like?
No, I think we were like 30 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I forget where we were at, but we were off. We were definitely off the Strip.
Get away from anybody possible to make anything happen.
Yeah, well, do they let people go out at night, or are you like at back of your hotel, like sleep time? Like, how does that all work when you're on the road like that?
So the first week before, when like the week of the Pro Bowl, we're all in San, we're all here practicing, and then we left, and then like we had an off day. So like guys could go down to the Strip if they wanted to and explore and see family. And I mean, most everyone was pretty much staying like at the hotel we were at. Cause I mean, they rent it out and everyone stays there. There's no one else in the building besides like team personnel or family. So I mean, it's kind of like your own little home pretty much, but at a resort.
So your family could stay there? Like if people had kids, they could stay with them?
Yeah. Yeah. You could have your family stay in there. They weren't allowed on like the same floor, but you could have your family stay at the team hotel.
That's cool. How hard is it to be on the road and like get accustomed to like sleeping in a hotel room and like your body feeling prepared for the big game coming up?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot harder. I mean, on the road, there's definitely nothing easy about the NFL and playing games on the road. I mean, because at home you have your routine, you have your tubs, your own bed, your own pillows, you know, everything. And then, you know, you never know how good the food's going to be at the hotel where you're going or the beds or, you know, anything that you can't control. It's definitely hard, but, you know, getting up for game day, you might be a little stiffer or you didn't get that good of sleep as what you're used to. But, you know, once game day rolls around, I think that all kind of, you know, washes away. But it is definitely a different routine on away games. Cause we'll leave when we change time zones, we'll leave 2 days before we leave the Friday instead of Saturday. So we'll get an extra day to acclimate to, you know, the time change and the hotel we're staying in. So it's a little easier than the night before a game.
And then like always immediately after those games, you guys go straight from the stadium back onto the plane and just take off.
Yeah, like we're gone. As soon as, you know, we ended in Minneapolis, I think maybe two hours after, we were on the plane and we were home at, you know, 7:38 that night here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's, you know, we get in and get out.
Yeah, that's crazy. So both your parents were fortunate enough to come out during turkey season. Your dad hunted with us. What did your dad think about the turkey hunting adventure we went on and his fishing trip that he had before that?
Dude, I think he's always begging me to come out here again. I mean, they both are. They love, you know, being around me and, you know, Abby and Cedar and being around us, just because we don't get to visit all that often being out here in there in Ohio. But, I mean, he loves California outdoors. I mean, the fishing, obviously, we're striper fishing. And, you know, we didn't catch a ton, but still just the fight and how good they – you know, eventually tasted one once we ate them here at the house. I mean, he loves it, man. Loves it. And then our turkey hunt was just crazy. The whole 95 degrees or whatever it was in May, it was brutal. Us three sitting in a blind and sweating for an hour. And they're like, all right, we got to get out of here. This thing's a sauna.
Yeah. You and I have spent too much time in a ground blind when it's been way too hot in the past two seasons. But the way we ended up, we didn't kill anything that hunt, but halfway through the first day, I ended up face down in the ground with a turkey fin in front of me with a turkey coming in and Colton behind me knocked with an arrow and his dad on the other side. It was just a cluster of all clusters. And we tried to get it done, but it didn't come together, but boy, what an interesting hunt.
Dude, it was awesome, man. I think, you know, it's hard east versus, you know, here and our type of hunting, like, you know, you maybe get one or two birds that are fired up and then they hit the ground and they're gone. Like, you're not going to hear them till 10:30. And then out here it's, you know, four or five and three different roost spots. And you're like, all right, what are we going to do? We can go here, we can go here, we can go here. And then, I mean, even when we hunt them at night, like, they were gobbling all evening and just the opportunities we had. I think we had four within 40 yards and still.
Yeah, if we had shotguns, it would have been over really quick multiple times.
We were done, man. We were done.
Yeah.
But I think that's just bow hunting turkeys is hard, man. I mean, we got it done the one day, but.
I told his dad, I said, next year you come out a week before and we'll get you with a shotgun in your hand. We'll get this thing done because, God, we could have killed a lot of it with a shotgun. I mean, we just couldn't get him to cooperate that last 10 yards with a bow, but. We definitely gave it a shot.
Yeah, I think the water thing was the biggest thing that, like, helped the turkeys. They were able to walk wherever they wanted to. The roads. But, dude, it was so hot that night. And, I mean, he just couldn't believe the amount of gobbling that was going on. I mean, it was insane. You could have hit a tree with a stick and they would have gobbled. Yeah, it was an awesome hunt. I mean, hunting's always not about killing, but it was definitely, they were putting on a show, man.
Oh.
Spitting, drumming, everything.
There was the other one that was above us spitting and drumming in the tree before it flew down. I've never heard anything like that for that long. They were, like you said, it was that hunt in totality was a great experience. Like all of it, even though we didn't kill, there's just so many different things that happened and we came so close so many times, but it was the all encompassing hunt was just awesome.
Yeah, I think we climbed into the sheets on that one. That was we were as close as we could get to that turkey.
Pretty much. So this duck season, I know you hunted with me and Jeff last season. You're shooting a little pea shooter 28 gauge.
Little BB gun.
You're gonna shoot a big boy gun. You're gonna shoot a big boy gun this year when you come out with us, or you're gonna bring it back out? Because I know you bought a new gun.
Oh yeah, I got that new Benelli. I mean, that's all I'm going to shoot is Benelli, but I got that new 12 gauge. We'll see. We'll see if I want to do it. Maybe when we go, I'll bring that one.
That's a big jump, 28 to the 12, man.
He missed the middle.
Yeah. Dude, I think this year, you know, I'm going to try the 20. You know, I reload my own shells with a duplex, and I think I'm going to try the 20 a little more this year. But I'll definitely shoot the new 12. But, dude, the 28, I'm telling you, you got to get on the bandwagon. I get it. You don't want to shoot TSS or Bismuth.
But I remember some ducks leaving on your corner, though. So I'm not sold on the 28 yet.
Oh, whatever. I got no words.
Did you get the 12 for goose hunting specifically? Or did you?
Yeah. For rain days and – definitely in Sassoon when it's wet.
Yeah,
just cause, you know, it's got that new finish on the Benelli, the best. So I'll be using that there, and just the wind days. Like, I will not take the 28 on a windy day. It's just,
yeah,
I don't think it's ethical. I mean, I shot a limited teal with that 28 early season when it's calm and sunny, and because I mean they're landing at your feet. But definitely when it's a storm day, like I have to use the 12. I won't use a small bore on them.
Yeah, it gets blown around a lot. We had Rock, Merlot, and Riley on a couple hours ago, and we were asking them their favorite hunts, and Riley actually said his favorite hunt was with you and Jake last year at the end of the season. So enjoyed that one.
Dude, that hunt was nuts because we had a big rain. The rain was coming, and we had to be – I think we had like 2 hours of hunting before. It was just an all-out downpour. And Jake had never done anything like it, man. I mean, he had never done a late season snow goose hunt. I think it was one of his, he had hunted before in Wisconsin, waterfowl hunting, but it was nothing like the hunting we did down at Sassoon with him. And for him to experience this, he's like, man, I'm driving 3 hours, you know, I hope it's good, whatever. I'm gonna sit out in the rain in the ground. And dude, when I say he started laughing out loud, like literally looking over at me and going, these birds are so stupid, and just broke out in all out laughter. And I'm like, dude, what are you laughing at? And because they're cupped up, they're just sitting at your feet. I mean, they're maybe 10 yards, dude. And he was having a blast. It was such an awesome hunt. And Rock's always taking care of me and the guys I bring out. And you know, that's who we were striper fishing with, and he took us a couple times, so he's been great. And Riley's obviously, you know, an awesome guy and great dude as well. But yeah, man, that was such a cool hunt. And I wish we had two guys bail on me, Charlie and Ben. You know, Ben,
yeah,
those guys bailed on me, so we were gonna have four guys there. And I think they realized they missed a heck of a hunt.
Hey, you gotta go when you get invited,
dude, especially here, man. It is one of the best places, and I don't care what anyone says, California, that has it all, man. I mean, we're bringing back three pintail a year, and just the conservation you guys do and everyone, man, it makes a difference.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your support and doing things like My Cause, My Cleats, and obviously coming on the podcast, but it's been fun to get to know you, but we appreciate you spreading the good word, too.
Yeah, I mean, I can't advocate enough, man. It's for what you guys have done, taking on hunts, and even from the beginning, you know, I got that shotgun off of you guys just from straight out the gate, the hunting and the advocacy for you guys, man. Cal Waterfowl, I think, does the best job out of anyone, you know, for the ducks and geese. It's crazy, and I'm love being a part of it, man.
Good. We appreciate that. I was driving on the road this morning on the way here thinking about questions for our podcast guest today, and I was thinking about this podcast. And a question that came across my mind was, if you weren't with the Niners, what organization do you think would give the best outdoor opportunities to a player?
Ooh. Hmm. Kansas City.
Okay, that's a good one.
Kansas City for sure. And then probably maybe Seattle Fishing, but definitely your North teams, Green Bay, Minnesota, like up that way. But Tennessee, you might get some, but Kansas City, I think, because you have the deer, you have deer hunting, Missouri and Kansas, all in that kind of little, you know, that corner. And then obviously, as you go a little more north in Missouri and Nebraska, you got a lot of birds hanging out there.
When you were in the draft, was there any teams that you were sitting there going, please don't draft me, please don't draft me, please don't draft me?
Hopefully it doesn't hurt me in a, you know, future. Hopefully I stay out here forever. That way no one else is like, what do you say about me? But probably New York, dude. I did not want to go to New York.
I couldn't do that either.
Oh, that would be tough.
Yeah, especially going from the country to like straight New York. Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be rough.
I mean, that's how I felt coming out here. I was like, dang, I'm going to San Fran. I know nothing about it. Like, it's.
I've never heard New York get called the sportsman's paradise, though. So I think it would be a little worse.
Yeah, there's some guys who actually do deer hunting. It's funny. Guys like who upstate. Play for the Giants and stuff. Yeah, because they all stay in New Jersey. So you got some New Jersey deer hunters up there. But besides that, I would not want to go to New York.
I think they could have some pretty good Canada goose hunting as well in those areas.
Those are all those guys that shoot the family banded ones. They post those hunts on YouTube. It's like shot 26 bands on 26 geese. It's like you watch them get banned a mile away and they fly to your field every day. It's like, congrats.
Yeah, and they know them.
They taste like Wonder Bread. I mean, they're all there at the park all summer feeding them Wonder Bread. And then they come over, you know, they walk over their car and the whole band thing. I'm still waiting on my first, but I'll get it.
You need, like we talked about, you got to get out of the Susan Marsh more.
Yeah.
No, there's
if you wait another year and you start killing three bull sprig, it'll happen.
You'd hope so. Colton, did you have an idea that you were going to get drafted by the Niners? Or is it just one of those things where it's like, you just pick up the phone and you have no idea who's there?
Yeah.
Dude, that's how it went. Like, because obviously, like third day, like you're thinking about, you got some teams talking about like, hey, we're going to draft you next, all this and that. Like, we're 10 picks away, whatever. And like, dude, I thought I was going to Cleveland. I thought I was going to Pittsburgh, some other places. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, here's San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch on the phone. And like, hey, we're going to select, we traded with Miami. You're going to be the 153rd pick in the fifth round. Welcome to San Francisco. And it's like, crazy. I talked to San Francisco, but it wasn't like a consistent thing, or they weren't really on my radar. And obviously it's been a great fit for me.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
You just get a phone call and I was like, here's the rest of my life or the next 5 years or next 2 years. Like, who knows?
Especially like if you didn't think you had to like really hit it off or didn't talk to him much, you're like, oh, probably not these guys. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, here we go. Okay.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like the other teams, like you're in contact with them. They're like, hey, we're high on you. We're going to take you. And then you kind of get mad. You're like, yeah, well, they said they were taking me here, didn't get taken. And like you said, all of a sudden, bam, you know, it happens. And you're like, oh, I had no idea these guys were even thinking about taking me.
Were you just sitting around with your family when it happened? Or did you have like one of the draft parties and you're just waiting? Or
dude, so I didn't even get to celebrate with my family. I called them on the phone because COVID was going on and I was in Arizona training. So I didn't get to get on a flight and go back home. So I'm sitting there in a 2-bedroom apartment with one of the other guys that was training. And it's like the third day of the draft, like, oh, I hope it happens today, Dad. And you know, got the call and celebrated with them on the phone. But yeah, dude, I wasn't home, nothing. And then I couldn't even go to the city yet to sign my contract until like June. Because of COVID. So it messed my whole experience of being a rookie up. I mean, we ran out first NFL game and there's not a single person in the stands. So
that's wild.
It was quite the,
did they do like roars of the crowd or anything on the
put it through the speakers?
Like, ah! Was it just dead quiet, like, hey, Bob, over there? Well,
dude, you could hear the other guys on the sideline talking. And then they had, like, the little posters of people in the end zones behind the field goal post.
So weird.
Just, like, you're on TV, you could see, like, people's faces. And it's, like, just a bunch of cardboard cutouts.
That's got to be a weird feeling. Ugh.
Yeah, COVID here, the NFL and rookie season was quite the roller coaster for us, that's for sure.
Now that you've been in the league for a decent number of years and you've gone up against a lot of different defensive linemen, who's the funniest defensive lineman that you've gone up against?
Funniest, huh? That would probably be the first time I've ever been asked funniest.
Everybody's coming out with like Netflix documentaries and stuff. You're like, oh, that guy's hilarious. You start hearing them talking trash, and yeah. It's like, that guy's kind of funny too.
Oh, dude, there's some trash talk going on. Brandon Graham's funny. He just won't shut up from the Eagles. Yeah. Just continuously talks smack. God, there's Dallas one. I can't repeat it, but it was hilarious. Just caught all of us off guard. God, who else really talks? Dexter Lawrence talked a lot last year, just a monster of a human being when we played New York. But yeah, dude, some of them, it gets quite raunchy down
I just imagine it could be pretty amusing if you're somebody that like doesn't take that stuff to heart and you just like take it in and you're like, what are you saying right now? Like, this is ridiculous.
I'm surprised like some of the live mic stuff doesn't pick up more of that like trash talk and stuff. Unless they're already editing it out before we hear it, which is probably the case, but
1,000% everything's on there. We all get warnings and like, dude, my whole video, I had a mic'd up the last game of the year versus the Rams last year, and it was just me grunting for 5 minutes. And I'm like, dude, I was talking about astronauts and spaceships on the sidelines. And these, I couldn't get anything out of them. So obviously they edited out a lot of stuff, but. Yeah, it's 4 minutes of me grunting and blocking people.
God, that's funny.
Yeah, it's they for sure are editing out a lot.
Keep it PG, relatively PG.
Right. Is it ever a surprise to you, like when you're going through the draft process, when you have either played with guys in college or you might have been at a combine with them, where you're like, that guy is an elite athlete. He's going to go somewhere and get drafted. And like, for whatever reason, they just don't get picked up and their career just kind of fizzles out.
Like, yeah. I mean, it happens all the time, man. I mean, like some guys are just dominant in college, you know, they just find the right scheme or right system. Cause the thing with colleges, they're still, it's a step up above high school, obviously. I mean, by far. But there's still the thing where, like, speed kills. Like, if you're faster than somebody or stronger, like, you can dominate them in college. But the NFL, man, every single one of them is fast. Every single one of them strong. Like, there's no fish, I guess. Like, just speed alone is not going to get you there. Just, unless you're Tyreek Hill, who's that much faster than every single person, like, you're going to get caught. You're going to get ran over. But I think some guys are just that connection or an injury happens or something, you know, kind of derails it and it's not, you know, everything they thought it'd be. And then that just kind of fizzles out. I mean, you see it every year with guys usually some first rounders who are busts in a year or two. And
yeah,
it's just, you never know how some guys get lucky and they're put in the perfect situation or they're just, you know, they're ready for the moment and they take it and they have great careers and others, you know, they're not ready and they kind of find their way out.
Yeah, it seems like we see obviously a lot more with the quarterbacks, so the spotlight's on them, but I'm a firm believer it's like people are spending these high draft picks, and the number of quarterbacks that have actually panned out in the last few years is so low. When you can get somebody like Brock, last pick of the draft, who's a great quarterback, and you have the number one pick from last year now being benched, like there's just so much range in the difference in college where you could be a great quarterback to the pros, like you're saying, it's amazing. And like the spotlight's on that, so we see that, but I'm sure it happens at every position.
Yeah. I mean, it's every position. I think a big part of it is like San Francisco does such a good job developing players. And they also, I don't think they give up on guys as early as some other places do. Like they, you know, they, if you're drafted and you kind of fit with the mold that the Niners are looking for, like they're going to put time into you. And as long as you're learning, you know, adequately, like you're going to stick around. I think that's the one thing that they do so well, and they give players a chance to grow and get it, because, I mean, there's always a new batch coming every year of new guys that are looking to replace. So, I think they just give up on guys, or the system's not right for some guys, and then they fizzle out, man. They don't get a chance. And Machine, Sam Darnold, he was in New York and struggled, and, you know, was in Carolina, struggled, and then he gets a chance with us, plays well for, you know, the game he was in the Rams, and then now he's 2-0 with Minnesota. So, I mean, just I think a lot of it's system and coaching and everything goes into it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so much that goes into it.
As far as your favorite outdoor activities, and I'm going to give you two and you have to get rid of one. We're going to get to the top. So let's go striper fishing or turkey hunting. What are you keeping? What are you getting rid of?
Get rid of the stripers.
All right. Turkey hunting or deer hunting? What are we getting rid of?
Get rid of the deer.
All right. So then we go turkey hunting or waterfowl hunting. The final you gotta get rid of
the turkey, man.
All right.
Oh, there we go.
So you fully transformed into a diehard waterfowl hunter being here.
Dude, I've known it since high school, man. Like once I begged and begged my dad, like we talked about on the first podcast, to get me into waterfowl hunting and be involved in it. And dude, there's nothing like it, like, 'cause it combines everything. The turkey hunting, you're communicating with the animal. And then obviously you're getting to shoot a lot if you got birds, but then just you can talk, you can have fun in the blind, like just everything that goes into it, the gear. I mean, there's such a, I'll say vibe, I guess, about waterfowl hunting that you can't replicate in any other sporting or hunting species besides waterfowl. There's nothing like it. And I was a huge deer hunter, but it just doesn't do it for me. Waterfowl does.
Yeah, I think everybody goes through transition and finds what they want. It's hard to be full bore in both or everything. Somebody usually has a favorite. But
mm-hmm.
Do you have anything big on the books this year for trips?
Not yet. I mean, I got to take care of me and Abby are going to spend some time together on the bye week, but then she's got a nice trip to Europe planned. So I'm going to get a day or two in on that when she's gone for sure. Yeah. When the mouse is gone, the mice will play, right? Or the cat's gone. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know yet. I'm definitely going to try and get with you guys. Sassoon's going to be my home for pretty much most of all the waterfowl hunts this year. It's so easy, and it's, you know, it's an hour away, and yeah, it's just, I don't feel like going anywhere else but California for birds.
Yeah. Anytime you have, you know, if you get a victory Monday or you have a Tuesday where you don't have something, let us know. We'll try to work something out. You come up to our mm-hmm. rice blind, or we'll find somewhere to go because we want to go hunting too.
Yeah, October 8th, man. Everyone keeps asking me, they're like, you doing any hunting, McKivitz? I'm like, not yet. I was like,
dude, you go to the Northeast, though.
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't going all the way up there. That's a long way for a Tuesday.
It is a long way. That's what I was saying, because I was on the drive here. I was like, oh, Colton could come up. And I'm like, oh, but he's got to be back the next day. It's like, that's 4 hours each year. That's a hard trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's a rough one.
Could be worth it.
I got pictures today from the place in Sassoon. There's a couple birds already on it, and they just put in a new blind. So and Abby, hopefully I'll get Abby on her second duck hunt.
I was going to say, how'd she like her first one?
Well, so I didn't show her all the glory duck hunting is. I forgot snacks. I forgot coffee. I didn't tell her she could bring a book. So I made her rough it.
Did you give her some waders at least?
Oh, yeah. She had all the gear. I was making sure that she was not cold. She was definitely warm. But the moment, they hadn't had the blind all year. And as soon as we open the covers, spiders go everywhere. And she's my like, I'm not. She goes, I'm not getting in the blind. I said, get in the blind. I was like, we're hunting today. And we had six birds at like 8:30, and we would have been great. We would have been done. And I'm like, I'm not shooting a spoon and messing up this limited teal. We sat there for another like 2 hours. Oh, she was so mad. But she had fun with it, and I mean, it was so cool just getting to spend the morning in a blind with her. And I still remember the first bird we shot. She goes, "You killed it."
Oh, yeah, that's the name of the game.
That is, but no, it was awesome and beautiful morning. You couldn't ask for anything better. So hopefully I'll get her out again. It'll be a little drier this time.
Has Brock talked about coming back out? Does he show any interest in doing it again?
Yeah, there's a little bit. I think he's a little more focused this year on, you know, he'll be more focused with football, but
yeah,
he's definitely about it, man. I remember when he got his waders and his jackets, dude. He was out in the yard blowing on a call in the bushes. So I think it's definitely, there's more duck hunting in his future.
Good.
Definitely.
Good. That's what I like awesome, to hear. Man. Well, Colton, I think we're about at our time limit here. So I just want to say thank you for hopping on with us again for the last episode of season one, Save It for the Blind podcast. And Jeff, do you have anything else?
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate everything that you're doing. Hope to share the blind with you again this season. So stay in touch and wishing you guys good luck, man. You guys are going to go the way. So good luck.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I know they said every time we've lost to Minnesota in the regular season, we've gone on to the Super Bowl. So
that's keep it up.
I guess we don't have to play 15 more games. So you know, we're good. But no, man, I love everything Cal Waterfowl stands for. You guys have embraced me as a player and someone who can help you guys. And you guys have been a tremendous help for me and my love for the outdoors and getting guys out. And I think, you know, I kind of, as long as I'm here, man, I'd love to make that a tradition in OTAs of getting guys out and shooting. And
we can definitely do that.
Yeah, we'll definitely get in the blind again. But, I mean, just getting new guys out and experiencing what California really has to offer is something I live for. And just seeing their faces and you guys are great enablers of getting, you know, new people in the outdoors and in waterfowl. So, you know, I love working with you guys and look forward to many more years of it.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, we appreciate it, Colton.
Yeah. Thanks, Colton. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. See you guys.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Save It for the Blind podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.